Good morning, everyone. Looks like a fun place, doesn't it? I was talking to Geralee when I came in. I asked her if she was nervous. She said, yeah, she had a few butterflies, but she doesn't show it. Anyways, I did a little bit of math this morning. This is the 30th time I've had to come up in front of the churches here since I had this job. I'm still nervous. And you always kind of wonder what you should say. But anyways, you're getting a triple dose of camp here today. Geralee and myself and Dave is going to be coming up and talking to you guys a little bit later. And anyways, I would like to do a little bit of a summary of camp. That's a hard thing to do because, I mean, just so much goes on. But I'll just say a few things about camp. And then I would like to talk maybe just about one special moment at camp. And I will tell you that it was a really, really good summer again this year. We started off with the DIY camp. And not as many people as I'd wanted, but got a lot done. We got one whole side of the main building tinned, which was good because about 4 days later, a tree fell on it, as you can see in the pictures, and just left a couple little dents, but it didn't go through. And we also got our dock or our swamp highway or whatever put in. The lights are here. They stood in that water for about 3 days doing that. But teddy bear, we had an extra teddy bear camp this year. And I also think that, well, we had 50 more people at camp this year. And I really believe it was because of the prayers of you people. And I also believe it's because of a good, dedicated staff that I've had. And of course, I mean, obviously God's faithfulness. But we had 50 more campers this year than we'd had last year. And I also would like to commend a few ladies from Big Island and from Waterhen, because these ladies worked very hard getting kids there. And we had 80 kids from the two reserves, Big Island and Waterhen, this year. And that was really wonderful. Every single children's camp was full this year. In fact, we kind of overbooked on the third one, and we had to put some of the boys into the old dorms. but anyways, everyone was full, so we're probably looking at, they're probably looking at having an extra children's camp next year, children's four. Also really encouraging was there was a lot more senior teens this year. We had about 20 more senior teens than we had the year before, and that was really encouraging. We had kind of almost planned to have Mac and Jack and Kirsten back for light, but it became quite clear, I think around March or so, that they weren't going to be coming. And so I was praying for a leader, and I was going through the list. We had a list from the previous year where kids, if they're interested in light, they would sign up. And I was going through the list, and Jared Clausen put down his name. He wanted to be a light, and 23 years old or whatever. And anyways, but he put his phone number on there, and so I thought, okay, I'll phone him, see if he wants to be a light leader. So I did, and he thought about it for just a couple days, and he got back to me, and he said he'd really like to do that. And then I was kind of counting on Kaylee McGilvery to be the female light leader, and but then she got drafted by Torch Trail. Must have given her a better offer. No, but anyways, so I was praying about that. And just out of the blue, one morning I woke up, and Geralee's name was on my mind. And I said, Geralee can do it. But Geralee had been a light the year before, but she was coming to the light meetings and helping out in the light meetings. And I thought, oh, she's kind of a motherly type to the lights there. I think she could do the job. And I was right. And the two of them together ran the light program, and I was really impressed. They had some plans that Jack and Mac and Jack had left behind, but they had some really good new ideas of their own, And I think they ran a really successful program that year. And also, I could see the success of the Light program over the years in our counselors, because we had 32 counselors this summer, 32 different counselors, but 20 of those counselors had come through the Light program. And that is so good to see. When I used to go to these different director conferences, they would go out looking at different universities and schools and trying to get counselors in. And we've kind of raised our own over the years. And the Light program really, really has helped in that area. For the most of the summer, we were able to run with all the full counselor staff, or close to that. And that makes scheduling so much easier, and also makes our supervision so much easier. And I have nothing but praise for our counselors. For the young counselors, energy and enthusiasm, and lots of times maturity way beyond their years. And so many things are thrown at them in the cabins and all the different campers. They really show a lot of maturity. And also we had some older counselors who provided experience and leadership. And I would have to say, man, there was quite a bit of enthusiasm and energy amongst them. Dave worked all summer out there. And is Heidi here today? Heidi came and spoke 1 week, and she spoke and she counseled 1 week. I tell you, man, she better not do that too often. She won't have any energy left. But anyways, being on the front line, I believe that the counselors are the front line of our ministry. And they often have to meet life and see all the problems and ugliness. Because when they get campers there, they come from all kinds of backgrounds. A lot of them not so great. And they're able to extend their patience and gentleness and love. And I think they offer something that a lot of these kids don't have, and that is hope. And I'm sure that that's one of the reasons that campers keep coming back every year, and I think it's also one of the reasons that counselors come back, because they realize how important their job is. Anyways, I was excited to see Brody Albers back this year. It was his third year, and his leadership and his teaching skills were such an asset for camp. Some days he would help with devotions, and a couple times he comes running in with this whiteboard, and he's all excited about this theology lesson he's going to teach us. And he's a really good teacher. I really believe he's going to be a teacher. Everything that he talked about, though, it seemed like he went back like to Constantine, 3rd, 4th century. I remember during our staff training, one day he was kind of giving a sex talk to the kids, to the counselors, and he still went back to the 4th century Constantine. So what? It was very interesting, though. We were really happy to see Grandma Agnes back again for the fourth year as head cook, and also Erwin and Gail Seabrook came. Gail, of course, helped in the kitchen, and Erwin looked after a lot of the maintenance. And I did see Irwin's eyes light up a little bit when he saw our new sewer truck, and he would actually drive something with brakes, and he was looking forward to that. And I'm so thankful for the caring and hardworking crew of the kitchen, and dining room, and maintenance workers. And I think the verse that describes them best is from Psalm 100, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And indeed, that's what they do there. And they are so important to the ministry. It amazes me every year how God knits together our staff and transforms it into this loving community where so many lives are transformed. I used to, in the staff schedule, when lots of times the kitchen and dining room and maintenance, they wouldn't get filled up. There'd be so many empty spots there. And I used to kind of grumble a bit. How come Northwest has to do all the work and E3 never sends anybody to camp? And no, that's not true. I see plenty of faces out there. But I used to grumble a bit. And But and also this year, several times we had to use like junior and senior counselors and lights and stuff like that to fill in some of those empty spots. You know, I saw Dave was out often with a broom or a dish rag in his hand, and hey, even the general director did dishes for 1 week, but I don't grumble, I don't think, as much as I used to. But when I see a hole in the staff, I think it's a lost opportunity. And I see it as a lost opportunity for someone to serve. And Agnes and I had a little bit of an argument one day. She almost always wins. But she was complaining a little bit about teddy bear, because a teddy bear, every mother and grandmother wants to come into the kitchen and help out. And so we get 10 or 12 people in the kitchen. And Grandma Agnes had this perfect number that she liked to have there, you know, so enough to do the work but not get in the way. And I said, "I'm sorry, Agnes," I says, "this camp is here for the campers, but it's also here for the people, for an opportunity to come and serve. And if we have to have a little bit of a too crowded in the kitchen, that's okay, because people get to come and they get to serve." And I would like to make something perfectly clear, and that is, when you come to camp to work, you are not just filling a hole in my staff schedule. You are an integral part of the camp community. You are a member of this team, and with the Great Commission as our goal to make disciples of all nations. And it's an important role. You're not just washing dishes. You are serving God, and you are serving others. I'm glad to see Jared was here today, and I knew Gerald Lee was going to be here. But they did something quite unique in Lights this year. They prayed together. We thought we would try something new this year. A little bit of prayer never hurt. No, I'm just joking. They prayed together. They prayed often. What would happen is sometimes after meals, I don't know if sometimes, maybe always after meals and after activities and after work projects, you would see them huddled together somewhere, anywhere. I'd be out in the field or in the kitchen or wherever, and then we'd be praying. And I listened in a couple times, and I guess I hope I'm right here because I got lots of them here. But it seems to me there was a theme of thankfulness that came through, with an emphasis on being thankful for the opportunity to serve. And the opportunity to serve by serving others. Am I right, Jared? I think that was his main theme. And this emphasis of service, you know, this taking the attention off ourselves and putting on others, is really countercultural. I mean, we are taught by everybody almost in school and media to look after number one. And people, I think, are being robbed of that opportunity and that good feeling you get when you serve. And it's a proven fact. People get more joy out of serving others than they do out of serving themselves. But anyways, it's countercultural, and I think it was really, it took a lot of persistence on Jared and Gerald Lee's part. But I think it began to sink in to Lights. And I see some lights here. Did it sink in? A little bit? Okay, good. And actually, it's something that needs to sink in here as well. I know in my life, and probably in your life, you know, to serve. And the verse was already mentioned today by Dion, I think, when Jesus said himself, he says, "I didn't come to be served, I came to serve." And if it makes sense for Jesus to do it, it makes sense for us to do it. Before I close, I got this here, but I got another page and a half. But I'm just going to tell you one moment of one camp, okay, which I think it really moved me, and it really, I think, it had an effect on a lot of people at camp. So anyways, my favorite time at camp is Thursday night campfire. And Thursday night is the last night. And We do some singing, and then after some singing, we usually have a testimony. And then campers have an opportunity to share something either they're thankful for, or something they learned, or something God taught them. And even some of the brave souls would share something about their life and how God had worked in their life this week. Then after that, they have a little piece of kindling, and they throw the kindling on the fire. All right? Anyways, the last night of teen camp, we had heard an excellent testimony, and now kids were getting up, and they were starting to share something that was on their hearts. And I was quite surprised how many shared really serious things. And they talked about themselves and how God was working their lives. And many had mentioned how thankful they were for the camp and the counselors. Agnes always gets lots of praise at these things for her cooking. Several mentioned how God was changing them. Anyways, I'm usually the last one that throws the stick on the fire. And so I was looking around and seeing if there's going to be anybody coming up. I would say last call. Usually I'd say last call. A couple more people would get up. And then I would say last call again. And there was several minutes of silence. So I stepped up and grabbed a stick and was going to put it on the fire. Anyways, I could see this young lad next to me that he was just kind of pulsating and fidgeting and mumbling something. I didn't quite understand what he was saying. So I leaned down and asked him if he wanted to put a stick on the fire. And he said, yes, I do, he said, but I'm so afraid, he said, I'm so afraid. And so I leaned down and I put my arm around his back and gently pulled him up to his feet. And I just reassured him that he could do it. And so he got up and he proceeded. always have trouble with this part. He proceeded through intermittent sobbing to describe his difficult life on the reservation, the loneliness, his bouts of depression, and his thoughts of suicide. He so badly wanted to change, and he wanted God's forgiveness. And he just cried and cried, sobbed. And what was neat, some of his friends and some of the counselors got up and surrounded him and were laying hands on him and praying. And then one of the counselors led him to Christ right there on the spot. And I don't think there was a dry eye that night, and I don't think there was a heart that was unmoved. And when you experience moments like this, it becomes so clear to you the great need there is in our younger generation to hear the word of God and to experience his forgiveness and grace. And that is why camp is so crucial. And it's why it only makes sense that we need to invest our time, and our money, our efforts, and our prayers into camp. And I'd like to thank all of you who continue to do that for Bethel Camp. And if you've never had the opportunity to be involved with the camp ministry, I urge you to give it a try. You won't regret it. Serving at camp is a win-win situation. You come and you're able to serve and bless others while you yourself are blessed. In a few weeks, Cherry and I will be passing the torch on to Dave and Becky Blatz. In the few years I've had the privilege of working with Dave on the board, and he's also been working at camp almost every year that I was there. He's also our treasurer and looks after all the books and does a wonderful job of that. He's been one of my greatest encouragers over the years. He is a hard worker and a good man with a heart for God and a heart for the camp ministry. He's very passionate. He wants kids to come to the Lord. And he really sees the importance of continuing to follow up with campers and counselors. I am extremely confident that God will continue to grow this ministry through him and Becky. Sherry and I would like to thank all of you for supporting us over the years with your encouragement and your prayers. And I pray and ask you to continue to do that for Dave and Becky. Thank you. Dave.